Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. Welcome back to some of you that we haven't seen in a while. Good morning to you, those that are downstairs in the fellowship hall, and of course, all of you watching at home. So it's Labor Day, which I know is kind of the sign of the end of summer. And so, you know, seasons end, but there's an exciting season starting next week. Children's Sunday School is back. So this is an exciting time because we have missed our kids and our youth so much, and we're so looking forward to having Sunday School and our youth program starting up. So Brenda, our superintendent, has emailed out registration forms for your kiddos. So please fill them out and email them back to Brenda. We are trying to be paperless so that we don't have to keep all of that and have everything spread through everyone. If you haven't gotten an email from Brenda, you can reach out to Brenda or myself and we will get that to you. Also, one other very important thing, if you are a children or youth volunteer and you did not attend the Safe Church meeting in August, you were mailed out a copy of the Safe Church policy and the updated SICK policy. You do need to sign both of those acknowledgments that you've read them and you agree to them and get them back to Christian Ed before next Sunday because you need to be compliant in order to volunteer. So please remember to send them back. You can mail them back. You can put them in the our little slot for Christian Ed, but we need to have those so that you will be all set to go. The other thing, too, is just make a note. If you're in youth programs, they're all kind of starting at different times. So the Trailblazers is now starting on Tuesdays at 5:30 to 7:30, and that's going to be at Rachel Ewer's house while the weather is warm. And then DC and Chug are starting on the 27th. They're normal. Awesome. Okay, so youth group, welcome back party, the 13th, 5 to 7. So a lot of exciting things to going on. So I know it's the end, but let's rejoice because God is doing a new thing and there's a new season happening. So let's worship the Lord together.
You can see there's like not as many words as the women, so we need to be loud enough to be heard. So join us, please.
You are home. join in our call to worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen.
How great you are, Almighty God. We worship you. Worthy are you, O Lord our God. To God and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. At times we worship too many other things, O Lord. We confess. We repent of that. We worship you this morning. We pause. We quiet our hearts. We open up our minds and our hearts and we breathe in. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill this place. Bring forth your word, Almighty God. Give us a focus in our worship like never before. Bless the little ones up to the old ones. All of us, we are your children. We love you. We want to praise your holy name. We want to hear your word and adhere to your word. And we want to learn to wait upon you. The battle belongs to the Lord. So come, Spirit, come. Even now as we pray the words of Scripture that Jesus told us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Hear the word of the Lord. Psalm 57, found in your pew Bibles on page 455. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until the destroying storms pass by. I cry to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame those who trample on me. God will send forth his steadfast love and his faithfulness. I lie down among lions that greedily devour human prey. Their teeth are spears and arrows, their tongues sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my soul. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is as high as the heavens, and your faithfulness extends to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And then Revelation chapter 4, found in your pew Bibles on page 997. After this, I looked, and there at the heavens, a door stood open. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there in heaven stood a throne with one seated on the throne. And the one seated there looks like jasper and carnelian. And around the throne is a rainbow that looks like emerald. Around the throne are 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones are 24 elders, dressed in white robes with golden crowns on their heads. Coming from the throne are flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and in front of the throne burn seven flaming torches, which are the seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne, there is something like a sea of glass, like crystal. Around the throne and on each side of the throne are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with a face like a human face, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and inside. Day and night, without ceasing, they sing, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God the Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one seated on the throne, whom lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before the one who is seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, singing, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now let us join together as we prepare our hearts for communion in just a bit. Lord God Almighty, we come before you and we humble ourselves at the foot of your throne. We ask you, Lord, to cleanse our hearts from the things that we have done that we should not have, the things that we didn't do that we should have, from the words we may have spoken or the thoughts we might have thought, or for simply just not following wholeheartedly your will. Lord, we lift these all up to you, and we ask that you would forgive our sins, purify our heart, and cleanse us, and make us whole again, Lord. We know that you are a merciful God who loves his people and rejoices when his people turn their hearts back to him. So let us all take a moment now to speak to our Heavenly Father. Your word says that if we humble ourselves and we come before you and repent, that you are just and merciful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Lord, we come rejoicing that you are a God who is faithful to his word, that you are a God who freely forgives as his people turn their hearts back to you. So thank you, Lord, that you have cleansed us, that you have made us whole, that you have given us your Son so that we may stand tall and walk in the righteousness of Christ our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, kids, come on up for a time of blessing with Linda Channon. Come one, come all, kids.
Hi, my name is Linda Channon, and I want to tell you a little bit about myself. And the reason that I'm telling you about this is I want you to know where I came from. I came to this church as a little girl, like you guys did, and I had such a great time. I wrote some of the things down that I did in this church. I came to Sunday school. I did vacation Bible school. I went into Highly, which is the children's program. I went in the summer to Cromwell for 2 weeks that my mother was so happy to send me. I did go to Pilgrim Pines as an adult teenager, I should say. I sang in the choir. I was involved in the children's services that were, I think, very often done in the late afternoon on Sundays. Picnics at Gill's, skating parties at Morton's, the smorgasbord, and I made my confirmation here in the church, and I was on the wall of honor until they took it down.
It's in a photo album.
Where is it?
It's in a photo album in the...
Oh, yeah, that's good. I'll have to make sure it's still there. I left the church when I was about 18 because I went away to school, and I just didn't come back. And one of the things I got as a child was this. And I don't know if I got it during confirmation or I got it from someone in the church. And the reason I'm telling you this, it's been with me my whole life. And I remember when I got the picture of Jesus, I put it in my mirror on my dresser. So at night when I go to bed and said my prayers, or when I woke up in the morning and had my prayers, I had him as the inspiration because I've always loved Jesus. So I want to tell you, if you look at this picture, there's holes all in it because I went to college, and when I went to college, it went with me and went on all the bulletin boards in all the dorm rooms that I was in. And then I got married and it went on the bulletin board at my new home. And then when I had my children and they had their bulletin board, it went on there, on our bulletin board there. So right now it's back on my dresser. So I just wanted to show you that. And I do have pictures of Jesus with the Lord's Prayer in it that I wanted to give you so that you'll have one for your entire life. So let us pray. Bless these children and their families during these difficult times, and bless them in the coming school year and in the new year with the Sunday school, and protect them and keep them safe always, as you do with all the children. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. And I did it.
Yes.
I'm going to leave these here if anybody wants to take one.
Well, it's obvious the country is ensnared in all kinds of debate and fear and frustration, whether it's COVID, it was pre-COVID, politics, you know, the politicians are at war. The gloves have come off. It must be almost November, right? But Christ Church is in the fray too, you know. What do we stand for? What truth do we need to speak about? Where are people being silent? All this, you know, along with what we need to say is that, you know, the enemy, the devil is trying to stir things up. Politics, you know, church life, you know, all kinds of things. Our own personal lives, you know, destroying relationships. And, you know, the Bible tells us the devil is prowling around looking for people to destroy, to kind of tempt and bait into his way of things. And in the first century, when, you know, Revelation, this is like our eighth week in Revelation. We went through the seven churches, and now we get a picture of the throne room. The first century needed a fresh vision of God, you know, to see where he is. Because, you know, when there's problems, when there's challenges, you know, they had persecution back then. We've got more and more persecution going on in our own country. But, you know, there's been never more persecution and martyrdom of Christians throughout the world than this present day. You know, not America, but around the world, because people's taking a stand for Jesus. But back in that first century, you know, they needed a view of God, and there were battles and enemies and the devil and just all kinds of minions and authorities and powers, and they knew there was a battle going on. But, you know, so often it's like, well, where are you, God? Why don't you show up? We need you. Our world needs you. With riots and division and all kinds of things going, we need you. Where are you? Well, the Life Change Bible series on Revelation says this. Christians embroiled in persecution, temptation, and complacency need the kind of direct encouragement and rebuke that Jesus gives in Revelation 2 and 3. You know, the seven letters to the seven churches. There were those who were faithful, those who were unfaithful. It was time to repent and return to the Lord. But then he goes on. Still, when you are up to your armpits in alligators, it's easy to forget that the heavenly perspective on the swamp is different than yours. Are we up to our armpits in alligators and in our country or our life or things that are going on? And kids may feel like it. It's kind of a different picture. We may feel like it. Maybe we need a different perspective. But God begins to give us just such a heavenly view in chapter 4. You know, these images, and a lot of it, we're not going to get into, you know, translating each and every creature and being and color and all that. But it's there for to gain our attention. So for how we deal with adverse times, it's not, where are you, God? It's, I want to focus on you, God. We need to fix our hearts on you, O God, to be steadfast, unmoving, because God is sovereign. You know, look at David, Psalm 57. I love this psalm, and there's other psalms like it. When David's in trouble, you know, he was a worship leader, obviously a wordsmith with writing the psalms and many of the psalms, and he played instruments, and he brought his concerns to the Lord, because it's the Lord's battle. You know, he was running for his life, hiding deep in caves, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But in prayer, he states, "My heart, O God, is fixed. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music." You know, while the enemy's battling and his friends are saying, "Let me take care of it for you, David. I'll take care of it like that." When country's embroiled in all kinds of a mess and politics and this and that, and there's people fighting each other. We used to love each other. Now there's people fighting and families are being split apart. You know, times like that. We need to fix our hearts and worship the Lord and lean into to God. We need a fresh view, a heavenly view. We need the attitude of David. When we're being pushed to the brink, when persecution for Christian values is on the rise, when censorship about scientific truth, spiritual truth is being taken off Google, Twitter, Facebook will be next. Some of you have put stuff up and it's been taken down. You're like, what happened to it? Well, somebody's watching and they don't like what you're saying. When a pandemic strikes, when spiritual darkness seems to be gaining ground, where are you, O God? When doors seem closed for mission and ministry, when Jesus is knocking at the door of his church, you know, last week. But so many are trembling with anxious hearts. Revelation 4 reveals an open door in heaven for our focus, for our response. There's a door open in heaven. God may give some of you a vision of this, even right now, to see that door. Is your heart anxious during these times? Or is it fixed on God? Or somewhere in between for all of us, right? As the scriptures in Revelation say again and again, those with ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Well, let's look at Revelation 4 for a little bit. We want to zero in on the point, you know, why this chapter at this point in the scripture? Well, John sees a door standing open in heaven in verse 1. He's in the spirit, that same loud voice that sounded like a trumpet, really loud, said, hey, I want you to look. He says, come up here. So he didn't transport him somewhere. He's given a vision into the throne room of heaven. He sees a throne, and it says the throne is set. That means it's permanent. No one's touching that throne, moving that throne, destroying that throne. There are other thrones, but this is the main throne, the highest authority. Nothing can come against this throne. And there's one sitting on the throne. Well, who is it? It's the person's not named. The being's not named. Well, later in verse 8 it is. He doesn't need to be named. He's Almighty God. He's the Lord God, the Almighty. It's his throne. He's on his throne. And his appearance, it says, is like precious stones. The reflective brilliance of a precious stone, the sardis and jasper, or carnelian is sardius as well. Jasper is like crystal. It's translucent like a crystal. Can you visualize that? And sardius is red. And just that reflective brilliance around the throne. And then it expands more and more. But the focus in the chapter is the one who sits on the throne. It's not about what political party you're in or what you believe about, you know, all the stuff that's been going on for 6 months. Or it's not about being set up to battle a loved one or a neighbor. The focus is on the throne, on the one who sits on the throne. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, God dwells in unapproachable light. And you can read more about all these images too in Daniel and Ezekiel. But let's go on for a little bit. In verses 3 through 6, I pictured kind of concentric circles moving out from that center. The throne's in the center, and there's all these concentric circles above and around that just surround the throne. A 360-degree rainbow, kind of greenish in color. The rainbow, a sign of God's complete faithfulness to his creation, his promise. 24 elders on 24 thrones. You know, these elders, that heavenly council, they are there. They have authority. White robes, that's holiness. Crowns of gold, maybe royalty. And then verse 5, as Pastor Ann was reading that, you could almost see flashes of lightning coming out. Peals of thunder, hearing that rip through. They go out from the throne. As the series of judgments are played out in Revelation, the seals and bowls and trumpets, after each one there is lightning and thunder and earthquakes as God is about to reveal his glory, his judgment coming down upon the enemy, the arch enemy, Satan and his cohorts, all who are against God. The power of the one who sits on the throne. His holiness that goes out for judgment and redemption. So the one who sits on the throne and all that's going on so far, that's pretty active. Is he just kicking back there? No, he is very active. God is sovereign. He is active. He's aware. He's worthy of worship, as we'll get to that. The Lord is not asleep. And the seven lamps of fire burn before the throne as well. The seven spirits of God. And then around the throne as well, there's a sea of glass. Kind of a reflective pool. A reflective sea of glass. Reflecting the brilliant gem-like light around God. magnifying the awesome blaze of his glory there. No movie could get this right. I looked for pictures, and they were awful. If any of you are artists, draw something. I mean, we need a picture of this. Or maybe God will just give it to you. When I closed my eyes earlier, I could almost see like a light coming through a doorway. And I don't get visions and things like that, but I want more. We got to pray for more visions, prophetic words. So the four living creatures are kind of the closest around the throne. Beasley Murray says, well, they could represent the entirety of creation, the four different beings and all that. And you can look up all kinds of stuff. You can get more description in Daniel and Ezekiel as well. I'll leave that to you. But I like what Mount says, an exalted order of angelic beings, guardians of the throne and leading the heavenly host in adoration of God. And they are covered with wings and eyes, more eyes than wings, but covered with eyes, you know. An unceasing vigilance. Unceasing vigilance. Again, it's kind of a strange pictures, but it's very apocalyptic genre of the first century. There was a lot of that. And you need those images. But the splendor, the beauty, and the majesty of the throne room and God is emphasized over and over. It bids a response. It bids our response because God is holy. You know, the worship that the four beasts will begin to do here, you know, at verse 8, day and night, they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come. You know, repeated three times, that means that's the main characteristic of God. Yes, God is love. But where does it say God is love, love, love? Or God is peace, peace, peace. We know he is. Or God is joy, joy, joy. It's repeated. God is holy, holy, holy for a reason. As the four creatures are initiating the saying, the worship, then the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, casting down their crowns, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created, hast all things created. We'll sing that in a little bit. We can't sing it enough. Are we struck by the one who sits on the throne? The God of holiness, the glory of God. Do we understand what he asks of us, what he expects of us? A life of holiness and purity and adherence to him and his ways. He expects yielding hearts that tremble at his word and his presence, not in fear, but because he is holy. He is holy. God's people are those who know God and worship him because he is worthy, because he is holy. You might be thinking, yeah, but how relevant is that for today? It's more relevant than ever before. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through, how pressed down, hemmed in, how afraid I am. I don't know where to turn. Well, okay, well, what is our current context? This is a time of separation. You know, schools and businesses, churches are, you know, greatly reduced what's able to happen. Marriages are stressed. There's more domestic violence. It's on the uptick. Depression, isolation, other issues. A lot of self-medicating going on, just trying to shut it all out. N.A., A.A., things are going a bit crazy from what I understand. People trying to hang on. And you know what? We're in the midst of crises. The enemy's trying to stir up and trying to show you, yeah, that one's your enemy, and that one's your enemy, and that one's your enemy. You want to strike them down. You want to hurt them. You want to stomp them. That's a That's a kind of an unhealthy fixation. It's a difficult new reality we're in. These burdens are heavy, physically draining. Revelation 4 gives us a view of God, a place to focus our attention. And it is totally relevant. Many of you could give us a testimony about just spending time in worship. You know, turn on Caleb or Pandora. Just turn on the music. Turn off the news. Turn off everything else. When you're in the midst, you need that worship. You know, the kind of songs we're singing and the new songs that Nick and the worship team are bringing in. We need more and more of that. More and more focus. More and more worship. To gaze upon the beauty and the attributes, the glory and holiness of God, realizing that it's from God, the one who sits on the throne, where all authority and power and vindication and healing and love and mercy and faithfulness. That's where it's coming from, by the Spirit. It doesn't matter what mess we find ourselves in. God is all that matters. Look for Him. Gaze upon Him. Call upon His name. Worship Him. Do not let your hearts be anxious. Do not let your hearts be troubled. The heart of Christ's church is fixed on God, leaving our battles and struggles and enemies to Him. Let's return to David's response in difficult times. King Saul wants him dead. David could take care of him. Boom! And just, you know, with his little finger, he could have taken him out. His friends again said, well, hey, let me at him. I'll take him out for you. He said, no, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. That's God's king. God's anointing is on that king. Some of the anointing was on David too. His time would come. All this being said is that he left his battle to the Lord. So he was in caves, he was around deserts, he was being chased by Saul and his army, but God kept going before him, and David kept worshiping and delighting in God, not trembling at his circumstances or enemies, but before Almighty God, because he knew that heaven's reality in heaven could come down to earth, that the presence of God could come and move and change hearts and defeat enemies and do everything. He had a clear vision of God. He knew a door was open in heaven. The description of his enemies, which is symbolic for the kind of threats he was facing, you know, that could be like in Revelation. He was among lions, ravenous beasts, those who breathe fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, tongues a sharp sword. But they've set a trap for me. They dug a pit. But the enemy, they've fallen into it. When our hearts are fixed on God, our lives, and that kind of worship, having that kind of attitude, the enemy will turn on himself and on itself. We wait upon the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. The evil one's time is up. You know, it's short, so he's going to be raging even more and more in the kind of spiritual battle we're going to be facing. But we can trust in the Lord. We can cry out to God with David, have mercy on me, O God, have mercy, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in you, in the shadow of your wing until this disaster has passed. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. I've shared that before. That's often a prayer of mine going outside. You know, and I believe it. I believe God touches us with his glory. That it would even be upon me a little bit as I pray that and worship God. That a little of heaven would come down. We want more of heaven to come down. But then he says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. So where is your God? Where's my God? He's enthroned in heaven. It's permanent. He is holy. And we come forward to the Lord's table, his son's table, the Lamb's table. We didn't see the Lamb in Revelation 4, Who took the lamb? Where is the lamb? We'll read about him next week. He's between the four creatures and the 24 elders. But the picture of him is he looks like one who has been slain because he's worthy, because he is the lamb that was slain for us, his body broken, his blood poured out. That's the sacrifice. That's why he's worthy. And we'll look at that next week. I want you to think about Passover now as we come to the Lord's table. That first Passover, the blood of the lamb was put on the doorposts, their homes in Egypt, because the angel of death was coming over, and there were many that died, except in the homes of the folks that put the lamb's blood on the doorposts and on the beams and on the door. And I had a picture as I was reading something of the door that's open in heaven. It has the smeared blood of the lamb on it. It's the smear of the cross on it. I want you to focus on the cross, the blood that was spilt for us, the body broken, as I read these words of invitation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If those who hear my voice open the door, I will come into them and eat with them, and they with me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are all who find refuge in God. So, sisters and brothers, this is food for the journey to which God has called us. Let our lives be nourished by the Lord himself as we celebrate together at his table. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, blessed forever, to you be praise and honor for giving yourself, shedding your blood, letting your body be broken in death for our sake, so that we might have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Bless, O God, this bread which we together eat, the cup which we together drink, and let us through this blessed bread and blessed cup become partakers of our Savior Jesus Christ. Unite us with one another and with all your saints in heaven and on earth. Consecrate us body and soul to be a living, acceptable offering to you, so that in word and deed we may continually praise and glorify your holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Invite you to go to either wing. You know, if you're on this side, go to this wing. There's individual bread and cup for you to take back to your seat. On this side, you can go over here, and there's some up on the altar for everyone else. We'll sing as we come, and let us sing and worship and come, for all is prepared. Receive the body and blood of Jesus.
Thank you.
Now let us join in together in prayer as we give a prayer of dedication for our tithes and offerings, which you will have an opportunity to bring forward after the prayer. Father God, we come to you and we are just so thankful, Lord, for you are such a good Father for us. You are a God who gives provision to all of his children. So we give back out of just worshiping you for who you are, Lord. We give back to you. And we lift up our tithes and our offerings to you. And we say, Lord, use these. Use our offerings to further your kingdom, Lord, to have your will truly come on this earth as it is in heaven. And Father, just as you are faithful to provide everything we need exactly when we need it, Lord, we know that you are in the midst of some of our brothers and sisters in their times of need. Father, we would lift up our sister Millie's cousin Hope to you. Lord, you know exactly what that situation is, and you know exactly what needs to be healed. So we ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would heal Hope, every intricate part of her body, that you would heal her to complete wholeness in the way that you have made her. We lift up our sister Harriet to you as well, Lord. Father, we ask that your healing hand touch her ankle and her feet, that you would bring peace and wholeness to that area, that you would bring strength so that she may be able to walk just as you made her to walk, Lord. And we lift up all of our brothers and sisters right now that may be hurting or suffering, that may be suffering from isolation or depression or anxiety and fear. And we proclaim in the name of Jesus that those chains be broken and that your peace and your freedom flood them, that the Holy Spirit surround them and comfort them, and that they would know that you are there. And in all things, Lord, in all those prayers that we silently hold to ourselves, we know that you are there. We know that you hear the cries of our hearts. We know that you are faithful and working on our behalf every moment of every day. And we thank you, Lord, that you are a good Father with a perfect plan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail.
The Lord's peace be with you. Be blessed as you go out. Have a wonderful, powerful week in the Lord, serving him and all around you. In Jesus' name, amen.